Well, you've been watching President Barack Obama's State of the Union speech. Covered a wide range of domestic and also international issues. Basically, it appeared sort of a cheerleading session that he basically praised the change that has taken place as far as an economic front in the United States, and also talked about the number of people now who have gone back to work and that the United States is on the move, touching on the healthcare industry, basically saying that things had improved on that front, and the goal is that no American would be left without having insurance. Talked about the dynamic, as he called it, stock market, and the changes that are taking place on the ground there, Wall Street. Also covered the situation with American soldiers, basically saying there are no more troops now in Iraq, and that the goal by the end of this year is to have most of the American troops out of Afghanistan, except for playing a support role. Then he touched on the situation with Iran and Iran's nuclear issue, again reiterating that the United States would do everything that it could in what he called preventing Iran from getting the bomb. Also talked about America's support, again reiterated, for Israel, which, of course, at that point got a standing ovation for Congress. We're going to open this up a little bit and talk to a couple of guests and get their perspective about the 2014 State of the Union address. Let's cross over to Atlanta, joined by managing editor of Veterans Today, Mr. Jim W. Dean. Jim, your perspective overall on this State of the Union address.
Well, we have a common joke here in America that the State of the Union addresses are kind of like a January extended Christmas. The only difference is Santa has to deliver all of his presents on Christmas Eve, and the president just gets to make promises after promises after promises, and we don't know whether he's going to be able to deliver or not. So they're constructed by speechwriters to try to appeal to the broadest array of the population as possible. And really the goal is to try to set a tone of optimism for the new year, which the country really needs. And it's the job of the speechwriters to give the president a speech that can do that.
Well, Jim, let's look at that, because you said basically the country really need this positive, I guess, pep talk. However, if time and time again these type of speeches are made, and this is President Obama's sixth one that he's making, and these promises are not kept, does it have the effect that, as you said, is actually the goal of trying to bring up the morale of the American people?
Well, he's trying to bring up morale, but you see in the beginning he was pretty direct about explaining very sternly that he was going to try to accomplish some of these economic things by executive order if the Republicans continue to do their blocking job that they've really done. So he really put that early in the speech because he wanted to put that on the Republicans, because the Republicans basically are trying to block getting anything done. So when it comes next time for the election, to basically say the Democrats didn't get anything done, so now let's put a Republican in. So he was trying to take that away and then also kind of set them up and get support from the people that if he has to do these things by executive order, he needs public support to do that.
All right, Jim, stay with me, please. Crossing over to New York with founder of StopImperialism.com, Mr. Eric Dreitzer. Thank you so much for being with us. Your take, sir, overall on the State of the Union speech.
Is pretty much standard for what you would expect from the president. State of the Unions tend to vary, in degrees at the most. What you saw from Barack Obama was the usual platitudes, but there were certain key themes that I would focus on. Number one was supplication to corporations. You saw throughout the course of his discussion of economic issues in the United States, it was always in the interest of corporate entities, whether it was General Motors or thanking Apple and Verizon and AT&T, or it was talking about the oil companies or talking about natural gas or whatever. All of these issues were always subjected to the whims of the corporation and making sure that American workers are prepared to do the jobs that companies want them to do. All of this is to feed this notion that America is one, that America is united, and it is, in fact, the United States of corporations. And, of course, that is the coded language that Obama uses, as every president before him and presidents after him will use. What you also saw with regard to the economic perspective is outright lies as well as an avalanche of distortions, talking about things like unemployment and improving unemployment numbers when, in fact, he knows very well that two-thirds of the jobs that have been created under his administration are low-wage jobs. He understands that the United States is not even halfway back to where it was at the beginning of the Depression in 2007, 2008. He understands all of these things, but yet that doesn't really matter, does it? Because the State of the Union is not about facts, it's not about figures, and it's not about true ideas. It's about words. It's about placating the masses in the United States. You notice many references to the so-called middle class. Well, there is no real middle class left in the United States. The middle class is an abstract idea. It is a concept. And if you look at the polls, the vast majority of Americans, whether they live in poverty or whether they live in wealth, believe that they are middle class. It is an idea, a fiction, and that is really what the State of the Union address is all about. It is stringing together an endless series of fictions into some kind of a mosaic that you can pass off as fact.
Well, staying with you, Eric, lots of standing ovations, one in dealing with basically when he talked about every American being insured, also when he talked about that basically the economic situation is turning around, and also when he talked about some of America's ventures overseas, that no more are there any troops on the ground. Your take on this, it's almost as if it's a sort of showtown, basically showtime, that basically he's on stage and everyone else is there just to give him thumbs up and sort of a pep rally type of thing. My question, though, do you think that the average American believes what they hear out of the State of the Union speeches?
Well, to some degree they do, although I think that even the average American, whether uninformed or slightly informed, has come to understand that this is all essentially an elaborate puppet show. Even those who take part in the elections and vote for the guy in the blue tie or the guy in the red tie, most of them still understand that the whole system is in fact rigged. They just believe that they're picking between the so-called lesser of two evils. And so when Obama delivers his speech, they think to themselves, well, gee, the things that he says, I know that most of them aren't true and that most of them won't happen, but the things that he says are better than the things that the other guys say. And that is the sad state of affairs in the political discourse in the United States. And you touched on the issue of foreign policy. You noticed, of course, the not-so-subtle reference to Israel in terms of America's allies in the region, and Israel is playing a central role vis-a-vis the negotiations with Iran. This is, of course, again, to placate the American-Israeli lobby. This is also to make sure that America understands that although Obama can talk about the rhetoric of winding down the wars, that the imperial force that it projects in the Middle East will continue. And notice that although he had many flowery phrases about extending a diplomatic hand to Iran, he did still use the George Bush line about all options on the table. So what he's essentially saying is that the coercion will continue, the aggression will continue, and that it'll simply take a backseat to the veneer of diplomacy. That veneer, that charade, is what he is banking on. And let me just also add one last point regarding the executive orders. Remember that Obama's talking about executive orders as if they are laws. These are not laws. He can sign an executive order raising the minimum wage. He can sign an executive order related to drones. He can sign any executive orders he wants. And the day that he's out of office and a new president comes in, those can be overridden. They can be rescinded at any time. So again, what we notice is that Obama's not interested in policy. He's not interested in legislating any kind of a progressive change. What he's interested in is cementing his legacy. And if that legacy only continues until the day he leaves office, then he's perfectly fine with that.
Okay, we'll cross him back over to Atlanta with Jim W. Dean. Your perspective, he also touched upon the Guantanamo prison and basically said that it has to be closed immediately because United States has the power not to basically have to imprison these individuals like this, but have other ways of controlling the security situation. I want to look at that because we know prior to him entering the White House, that was one of his main campaign promises. And now 6 years on, he's still promising again. Let's look at the Guantanamo.